It's good to see all of you this morning, and thankful the Lord's blessed us to meet together with you at this time. We miss being here. Do ask an interest in your prayers as we come before you this morning. If you would, I'd like to talk to you this morning about the subject of comfort. Comfort. Maybe comfort as opposed to comfortableness. We all like to be comfortable. You know, sometimes comfortableness can lead to some of the biggest in-house wars that we ever have, though. Like, you know, who gets charge of the thermostat? I'm comfortable at 68. She's comfortable at 72. Comfort. The Bible has a lot to say about comfort, and I'm glad it does. You know, the older I get, the more important comfort is to me. And one thing I'll go ahead and mention now, as we go through the scripture that I notice concerning comfort, is that several of the times that comfort, the message of comfort is presented, it's at a time of before, during, and shortly after trials and afflictions. Like, for instance, the very first time that we find it in the scriptures is in Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, we read about, of course, first of all, we have the list of the genealogy of the patriarchs from Adam unto Noah. And in verse 28 it says, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Noah's name means rest or comfort. And of course, we all know the story of Noah, that Noah was a man that God blessed to build the ark. The ark, of course, was commissioned by the Lord to be built for the saving of Noah and his house. And, of course, the reason for that ark being built had very little to do with comfort, didn't it? Because the wickedness of man had increased and grown to the extent that God had said that he was going to destroy the world with a flood, with a deluge. But don't you just love the buts of the Bible? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And think of the connection there, that Noah, whose name means rest or comfort, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And before that came to pass, now I'm not sure that how much Lamech knew, probably at this point in time, at least, when Noah was born, had no idea of an impending flood. But God blessed him to name his son Noah and to give him a prophetic insight. And having prophetic insight doesn't always mean having perfect understanding of what you're given. But to name his son Noah, and to say concerning him that this son, shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. So right away we see that beginning with Noah, that God is already talking about comfort long before men recognized that it was going to the flood was going to occur. We turn over to the book of Job in chapter 2. We find these words. Job chapter 2 and verse 11. Of course, up to this point, you know that the Lord and Satan's had their conversation, and all the things begin to happen to Job, and you know his herds are driven away, etc. And in Job chapter 2, verse 11, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Now, we could debate how much comfort they actually were for Job because essentially their message to Job was, well, if you'd have behaved yourself, Job, none of this would have happened to you. But of course, you know, Job didn't understand that it was that way. In fact, he questions in many different ways and forms, you know, why did this happen to me? But of course, in the end, you know, God, you know, set all four of them straight. Well, and actually one other fellow, all five of them straight concerning this scenario. But it's one thing we can get from this. They came to him at a time of loss to mourn with him. And that's what friends are for. Now, they're called Job's friends. And, you know, sometimes our friends, we like them because they tell us what we want to hear. Other times we love them because they tell us what we don't want to hear. So they, you know, without getting into the situation here, and there's a lot in the book of Job and the interaction, of course, that he had with these friends of his. but there's a lot of good teaching, a lot of teaching about the Lord, a lot of teaching about creation, and a lot of teaching about fellowship between God and man and between man and man. But these three friends, having heard of what had happened to Job, they came to him and noticed that they had made an appointment. I mean, to have made an appointment signifies to me that they had spent some time in preparation of this. No doubt they'd been hearing what had been happening to Job, and they got together. You know, when you make an appointment, there's some coming together. And that's actually one of the definitions of the word comfort. It's when things come together and they do or behave or perform like they're supposed to perform. Well, that signifies comfort. So in him, they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Well, of course, you're familiar with the Psalm 23 in the 23rd Psalm. David says, yea, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, etc. Then in the fourth verse, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I know you've heard this preached many times before and read, you know, the use of the rod and the staff. And one of the important jobs of a shepherd was to be a comfort to the sheep. You pretty much have to lead sheep. They're not drivable creatures. You know, they just don't drive real good. Now, goats, on the other hand, you can lead them or drive them. But sheep, they are more followers. And that's part of what the rod and the staff were used for. And David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now, we can, I'm sure you've heard the story about the physical, what this valley of the shadow of death is. But at the end of the day, why the Lord blessed this verse of scripture, this psalm to be in here, is that all of us are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes that shadow is not as prevalent, it's not as dark as it is at other times. But we're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is around us everywhere. But even though we walk through that valley, and even though we experience the death of our loved ones and so forth, or we are there facing death ourselves, David said that, yea, though, he didn't say yea if, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley. And he didn't say we. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That does, David would not have fit into the crowd of that likes to be depend on themselves. I can do this. I can research this, and I can work this out. I can take care of this. I'm man enough for this, or I'm woman enough for this. David says, no. says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And another thing, another point, he didn't say they shall comfort me. That would kind of put it in. He says, I know that when that time comes, but if you take the word shall out, that puts it in the present tense. David says, this is a constant journey for me. This is a constant journey for us all to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that means that every day that God comforts us and he restores our soul and so forth. There are many other scriptures we could go to. Let's go to a few in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 9, we find the story of a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And whenever she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. And Jesus turned him about. When he saw her, he said this. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Did you know there's comfort in exercising faith? Well, that's what this little lesson is teaching. It's teaching a lot of things, but there's comfort in the exercising of faith. People look for comfort in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places. And usually when we don't find comfort, it's because we're looking in the wrong place. And here's a woman who had had this issue of blood for 12 years. Well, she came to the right source, then she not only received healing, but she received comfort. And of course, what greater comfort can there be than to be healed? Okay? Of course, there were many others in the days of Jesus Christ that he comforted them and blessed them to be healed of their diseases. And of course, that was their comfort. In Acts chapter 9, we find in verse 31, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Of course, this is after the apostles, Paul's / Saul's experience on the road to Damascus, who was like a roaring lion going through the churches of that day, through the disciples, hailing men and women, having them put into prison. And he was a force to be reckoned with. And during his reign of terror, there was great unrest among the disciples, because wherever he found them, you know, he arrested them, had them arrested, cast them into prison, and did things to try to get them to recant, to repent of following Jesus Christ. Well, when the Lord met the apostle Paul on the road, or met Saul on the road to Damascus, and called him to be an apostle, then the churches had rest. You know, God has a way of sending comfort in many different ways, doesn't he?
That's right.
One of the ways that he sends comfort to us is whenever he rids us of our foes, of our those that would be our enemies, and those that would harass us, those that would treat the Christians as the Apostle Paul did. And the churches had rest. I've lived long enough and had enough experience as a pastor and as a minister in the New Testament church to know what it feels like when churches are at unrest because of an issue and because of brethren that are stirring up trouble. And they're causing distress, and maybe it's a brother preaching a false doctrine, whatever the issue may be. And during that time, it's an unstable time. It's an uncomfortable time. It's a time a lot of times when a lot of God's people fall away. You know, people quit coming to the church because they come to the house of God to worship. They're seeking comfort. They're seeking rest. They're seeking peace. There's something within them that they want to be satisfied. They don't want to go away unsatisfied. Now, there's times when they ought to go away unsatisfied, especially when they come with a problem that needs to be addressed, and God blesses it to be addressed, you know, through the preaching of his word. Well, they need to go away. But you know what I'm talking about, that in general, we've come here today to be comforted, you know, because we live in a world that doesn't offer that comfort, at least not the same kind of comfort that we get here. This is a lasting comfort. This is a peace which passeth understanding. This is a joy unspeakable. This is an experience like no other. There's nothing in this world, no amount of money, no amount of activity, etc., that will equal the comfort that's found in the house of God and in the presence of God and in the presence of his people. In Romans chapter 15, I'll get a couple of more and then I'll give way to Brother Clayton. In Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul gives us a very important lesson concerning comfort. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." The scriptures are written for our learning. Paul puts that first. This is an educational book. Okay? Written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. You know, there's a scripture that teaches us essentially that we ought to become addicted to the Word of God. And this is an addiction that we can make it a lifelong habit. And it won't be an addiction that causes us harm and that something we'll need to repent of, but it's an addiction that will be the greatest of blessings to us. And that's the Word of God. To read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and certainly most importantly, to live by the Word of God. And there's comfort in it. You know, God's ministers are charged to teach God's people from the Word of God, to teach them to know the Word of God, to teach them to read the Word of God. Not just that they might know it, but that they might find comfort in it. I find comfort in it. There's not a day that goes by that I don't read it. And I don't read it just so I can check that box off. You know, I follow the little schedule. Well, I say I follow it. I'm about 2.5 weeks ahead of time. But the point is, I don't read it just to check those marks off. I read it because I find comfort in reading God's Word. And I read it at the beginning of the day. Sometimes it's a discipline thing. Oh, I need to go stretch wire for that back pasture fence today. And the sooner I get started, the sooner I'll get through. But it's already 8:30. I'm burning daylight, but I haven't read the scriptures yet. Well, most of the time I sit down and I read the scriptures because I find comfort in it. Comfort in reading it, in doing it. Comfort in what I read. Comfort in meditating upon it. Comfort in what it teaches me. Comfort how it blesses me, what it saves me from, as well as what it saves me to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 16. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. I figured somebody would correct me on that. You didn't know that there were 16 chapters in that book, did you? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And that's a blessing that I leave with you today. As Paul did with the church at Thessalonica, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father comfort your hearts. And by the way, we need comforting every day. You know, not just when we lose a loved one, not just when we lose a job, not just when we, you know, have a crisis in our life, but we need comfort every day. May the Lord add his blessings.